From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. Governor Janet Mills has signed a measure into law intended to help Maine communities prepare for devastating storms. Mills says the law includes funding for home improvements, disaster recovery, and emergency management upgrades.
A bill that will allow Maine communities, homeowners, businesses, emergency response leaders, and others to prepare for the extreme weather events of the future and make Maine a safer place to live in the process.
The law is partly a reaction to winter storms more than a year ago that heavily damaged sections of the Maine coast. Experts predict a warming climate will make such weather events more likely and bring increased precipitation and sea level rise. The presidents of four colleges in Maine have signed onto a joint statement accusing the Trump administration of unprecedented political interference in higher education. As Kevin Miller reports, the letter comes one day after Harvard University filed suit against the Trump administration.
The statement has been endorsed by nearly 200 college and university leaders nationwide, including the presidents of Bowdoin, Bates, and Colby Colleges, as well as the University of New England. The statement accuses the Trump administration of, quote, unprecedented government overreach and of undue government intrusion into the lives of college students and staff. The American Association of Colleges and Universities released a statement one day after Harvard University sued the Trump administration over its attempt to freeze billions of dollars in research grants. The administration has accused Harvard and other prominent schools of allowing anti-Semitic language and activism on campus. The Trump administration has also frozen federal grants to Princeton, Columbia, Cornell, and other universities over similar claims and is now threatening to go after universities' tax-exempt status. While the letter from university presidents says they will always seek effective and fair financial practices, they also said they must, quote, reject the coercive use of public research funding. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
New state rules that limit solar power development on prime farmland go into effect this month. The regulations are intended to balance the state's clean energy goals with efforts to encourage local food production. Craig Lapine is with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry.
We want to see renewable energy development, and we don't want to see that at the expense of a future where Maine can feed itself.
Under the rules, solar developers will have to pay fees and get permits to build on valuable agricultural land. Renewable power advocates say the measure unfairly targets the solar industry, at a time when farmland is being threatened by housing and other development. A new report finds more than 40,000 Mainers lack access to a vehicle, including roughly 15,000 working adults. The report, published by the John T. Gorman Foundation, finds that older Mainers over the age of 75 and young Maine residents in their 20s are the least likely to have a driver's license. Foundation CEO Nicole Witherby says learning to drive is increasingly difficult for some young Mainers who may be unable to afford driver's ed courses or lack access to a car to learn to drive.
When you're entering your 20s, you're supposed to be able to be independent and potentially thinking about your own housing situation or off of school. And if you don't have easy access to not just school or employment, but going to the grocery store, meeting up with friends.
The report also finds that most Maine households spend at least $1,000 a month on purchasing gas and insurance, making car repairs, or paying for public transportation. Public transit is meeting just 11% of the demand. Both chambers of the legislature have given initial approval to a bill that would provide millions of dollars to family planning clinics around the state. Supporters say family planning clinics have been essentially flat-funded for years despite rising health care costs. The clinics and mobile health units offer reproductive health care, such as access to birth control and testing. But supporters like Democratic Representative Kristen Cloutier of Lewiston say they also provide primary care and other essential health care.
In my district, and especially across rural Maine, these health care providers are often the primary and sometimes the only medical resource that folks have access to.
While supporters say the money would not pay for abortion, skeptical Republicans accused Democrats today of refusing to make that more explicit in the bill. Democrats will now have to come up with more than $12 million to pay for the bill during a tight budget year. A conservation group in Belfast is purchasing a 54-acre parcel of land at the center of a years-long dispute over a proposed salmon farm. Nordic Aqua Farms dropped its bid to build the onshore aquaculture facility in January after multiple rounds of legal challenges. Upstream Watch, a local group that pushed back on the project for years, is now under contract to purchase the property. Interim Executive Director Pete Nichols says the goal is to preserve it.
It's incredible habitat. Like I said, it's got wetlands and trail systems and forests, and I think that's really what the community wants to see.
Nichols says the group is launching a capital campaign to raise an estimated $1.5 million to purchase the land. He's hopeful they can raise the money by the end of the year. Homelessness advocates met in Portland today to speak out against cuts to resources for the growing homeless population in Maine. The event was part of a national day of action aimed to draw attention to the lack of affordable housing and the recent deaths in the homeless community on the one-year anniversary of the Grants Pass v. Johnson decision. The Supreme Court ruling determined government ordinances with penalties for camping on public land are not cruel or unusual punishment. Author and activist Pat LaMarche says she continues to advocate for the homeless population because it's a bigger group than people think.
Most people experiencing homelessness hide. You see very few of the actual number of people experiencing homelessness because you see only the people too desperate to hide.
LaMarche says federal cuts to programs aimed at reducing poverty will only make the homeless population larger. Young people are increasingly at the forefront of climate change activism. Some 70% of people ages 16 to 25 are extremely worried or very worried about the climate, according to a recent study. And despite ongoing challenges, including recent political setbacks from the Trump administration, Maine students remain committed to climate action. From Maine Public's Climate Desk, Peter McGuire and Molly N. King have more.
So let's get loud and make sure they can hear us in the state.
At least 100 high school students from across the state are waving signs, chanting, and spilling out on the plaza behind the state house.
More oil!
Keep our carbon in the soil!
Keep our carbon in the soil!
The Day of Action is a chance to mobilize some of Maine's youngest activists and to bring their priorities to the lawmakers who represent them. 12-year-old Charlotte Gersett from Brunswick supports Maine Green Schools, a bill aimed at classroom sustainability and environmental education.
I think that it's really important, especially to get more climate education in our schools so that we can learn more, because to make change and to be educated is the first step.
It's events like this that Maya Kelly says help her stay linked to a diverse activist community. She's a high school senior from Farmington.
I saw quite a few familiar faces around, which was great to reconnect. And it's just really energizing to be in a crowd with other people who feel very strongly about the same issue.
And Kelly says new political challenges only make it more important to work on an issue that touches every aspect of our lives.
For me, what's helped me the past few months, especially as our political climate has gotten more intense, is trying to think of the climate crisis as an opportunity to really push for societal and structural change.
And students are pressing for that change this year through bills to expand mass transit, remove toxic chemicals from the environment, and force fossil fuel companies to pay for climate damages.
And there was an even bigger turnout earlier this month, when 300 high schoolers joined their teachers, students from the University of Maine, and members of the Maine Climate Council for a day of climate education and workshops. At one panel, students compare notes on how to recruit new members to their clubs.
I think that it can be really tempting to start from a place of fear and be like, oh, everything's really bad. Like, we need to fix things. There's so many problems. And I don't think that draws people in.
Raya Lumen is a junior at Camden Hills High School and a member of an environmental club called the Wind Planners. The club recently started a compost program in their high school cafeteria. She says starting small can be an effective way to attract interest.
You just kind of say, hey, you want to come to this event with me? And then you get your friends to come and they tell their friends, and you can spread the word of mouth that way.
Still, she and many of the other youth leaders say they routinely fight off feeling discouraged and even hopeless. Quinn Robinson is a senior at Central High School in Corinth.
I think it's easy, especially with under this new administration, with protesters being arrested and funding being cut for environmental projects, I think it's really easy to get frustrated and get overwhelmed.
Robinson runs an aquaponic garden at his school, which he uses to educate the younger students about plant life and nutrient cycling. It's another example of a seemingly small project that can have a big impact if you stick with it, he says.
I think it's really important to be stubborn and be persistent and not get discouraged.
Bay Netto, a senior from Searsport, says events like this help keep him inspired.
There's so much passion in this area around trying to help make our planet a better place for all and trying to preserve a greener, cleaner future.
And he says that, combined with a number of students who keep showing up, gives him hope. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
And I'm Peter McGuire.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, shared American beliefs in a divisive climate. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.